What gave you the most satisfaction? I mean, you just talked about this recent classroom experience that you invented, you created.
Yeah, right.
And it became very successful. You had satisfaction from that. Then you had satisfaction from coaching a certain team or championship. Tell us what rises to the top.
Well, I'll tell you one thing before I go any further. It's the association of adults, the good people, the athletic directors, the coaches, and the teachers that were in the program.
So that was very meaningful to you, good people.
We had some good ones.
Yeah.
Sure did. And they were, you know, they were teaching our athletes how to academically survive, and I was teaching them how to athletically survive. And it was a teamwork. We didn't fight it. Now, some coaches and some teachers were different. In other words, they had some friction. But I found out friction doesn't gain very much. If I hadn't have worked psychologically like I did, I probably would have won half the games I won as I was coaching.
How did you, okay, you said psychologically. How did you mean that? What did you do?
How I worked with the teachers and didn't gripe about so-and-so, and I didn't beg about, I got to have him on Friday, whatever. They had to do it on their own. And the teachers and I had a pact about that. And I said, if you want him to play, coach him in studying also. And I did that. And I think it helped a great deal.
Were there times when you had to set a boy aside because he wasn't academically?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it hurt a couple of three times, too.
Might have even hurt a win or loss of a game.
Oh, yeah. True. That's true.
Yeah. All right. Then bringing you back to your satisfaction moments. The school, I mean, the academy in the classroom, on the field, kind of what pops in your mind?
Well, if the first thing I enjoyed about that life was the teaching, the classroom teaching. That I enjoyed because you have more winners there. I'm not poking fun at the footballers or anything, because that's a different story. When you're using your muscle rather than your brain, there's a lot different direction you have to take. In other words, if I was a big ox and you were small, I could just crush you and that's it. But if we're equal, now education is going to have to come in so I can outthink you. And if you can't outthink them, you're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
So it's your classroom experience that ranks higher than even your athletic football.
Right. Yes. If I had to go back as a career for the rest of my life, I'd want to be in the classroom rather than on the football field. Although that was my life for years, football. But
right.
I liked the classroom.
Okay, let's talk about the athletes back there in the 60s and the 70s. And then the athletes today and the way football, let's use football.
Mm-hmm.
Is being run. Major differences, comparisons?
Well, I think the main difference between the kids today and then was the distractions. Today, there's so many things that are distracted, like the electronic era has come in. And the things that are fed these people today, these young kids today, through electronic devices is criminal to me. Now, on the other hand, it's very beneficial too, because they use that for a positive way in getting their studies and doing their research. So it's not all bad. But you know, a person that is weak physically or mentally, and he's easily induced into certain areas that are negative, electronic devices just enhances that.
Is it fair to say athletes today can be faster, bigger?
Yes.
And so there's an evolution going on here, isn't there?
Main thing down through the years is training and diet and many other things and facilities. We've got facilities like weights and swimming pools and saunas and all kinds of things that cause you to be stronger and more mentally alert that we didn't have when we were going to school, period.
So kids playing today aren't necessarily bigger, stronger, faster, but they had the facilities to make them faster and be bigger and lift weights and have more muscle.
That's true. Right. Just like me, I wasn't. The only way I muscled up when I was young was lifting baled hay and shoveling wheat and working on the farm and so forth. We didn't have a weight program. We didn't lift weights. The only weight we lifted were bales when we were throwing them on the truck.
Right. You know, we also hear today about performance-enhancing drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And did you sense any drugs for performance or of any sort back in those days?
All my coaching career, I never even, it never even come in contact.
Yeah, do you think it was even around back then? We're talking 80s?
It's hard telling how much of that was there. It might have been some, but it was just, and another thing that we had then that I don't know how it goes on now, I know it was kind of waning, is saying prayer and bringing the Lord into our locker room. Nowadays, people are afraid sometimes to do this because of the repercussions that may come back. You're not supposed to be teaching religion. You're supposed to be teaching football or whatever. And that's reverse psychology there. That's reverse positive living. It all goes in. And we always said prayer on the bus to the game, and we said prayer after the game. And when we got through showering before we dressed, we met around in a commune of prayer and concern for people that were hurt.
Hmm. Did you do that in both schools?
Yes.
As a head football coach, you brought that in, and nobody complained about it.
No. Now, today, you probably couldn't get past some of these things that we did.
And then we have more different religions introduced in our community now.
That's right.
Than you did then. Everybody was basically of the Christian faith back then.
Yeah, the old saying was, you leave the religion to me, the father says, and you do the coaching. Well, that's fine with me, but I didn't have any gripe or any. In all those years, nobody said anything about us saying prayer or whatever.
Yeah.
In fact, John Capehart, he's a Phi Beta Kappa, straight-A student, and he's a neurosurgeon right now in Dallas. He'd walk up and down the bus on the way to school or way to the game and preach and look at them and tell them and this. And especially if we lost the game, he and two or three others were up and bringing in the Lord and saying, what is the most important thing? Well, losing this ball game is not. So that's the kind of kids I had.
Mm-hmm.